We are in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, what came before 19?
18.
And what came before 18?
17.
And what happened in 17 and 18? A lot. Well, that's a good question. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. A lot. 17 and 18 is about judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. Let's go. There you go. Thank you. After that, the judgment. Now, what that tells me is two things. You know, you hear that saying, there's two things you can be certain of, paying taxes and dying. Well, forget the first one. There's a lot of people don't pay their taxes. But there'll be no one that don't die. Because God says, it is appointed. It's ordained. You're going to die. You say, Tom, I thought some people would be alive when he comes. That's what the Bible says. But I can guarantee you, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to die and take on a new body in that same moment, in that same twinkling of an eye. And the only person who has the power to make that come about is God. Now, some people may say, I don't, but some people might, that this judgment seems awful harsh. The world would even say that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. You hear that? I would agree that sometimes man, in his fallibility, might issue a judgment or a punishment that doesn't fit the crime. But I can assure you without any doubt, not so with God. God's punishment will certainly fit the crime. Now, how many of you have ever said this? I wonder what we're going to do. I've had people say to me, foolishly, Tom, do you think they'll have golf courses in heaven? Well, that's a foolish statement, for one thing. I'm going to tell you today what you're going to do in heaven. And I don't think that anyone's mind is going to be on golf. I don't think anyone's mind is going to be on hunting and fishing and sowing. Ladies, y'all, because some of you ladies don't play golf and don't go hunting and fishing, and the men say, well, what about them?
Or motorcycles.
Now, I told you last week that you should be glad for something. What did I tell you should be glad for? Irma wasn't here. She's not responsible. The rest of you are. What? Well, that's a general statement. Could fit anything. I'm talking about generalities. I'm talking about specifics. Specifically, what did I say you should be glad for? That you're not in 17 and 18. If you're in 17 and 18, what happens? You go down. Babylon the Great is fallen. Now, folks, look, if you think it's about a city, you're missing it. It's about the people in the city. That's who's going down. Make no mistake about it. All those in the city are going down when the city goes down. All those that are attached to Satan are going down when Satan goes down. All those that have worshiped the beast and the image of the beast and the false prophet, when they go down, are going down. If you don't believe me, read the last of 18 and the last of 19. And you'll see that's exactly what happens. But to show you why it's fair what God does in 17 and 18, I want to take you to Psalms chapter 24. So if you would, go to Psalms and we'll teach Revelation. How you like that? Isn't that wonderful? Psalms 24. Maybe you've never thought of it like this, but maybe you don't think like I do. But maybe you will after today. You all know this first verse. You could all quote it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, by the way, if you've got a part in the cantata today, if you've got a part, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Gabriel and shepherd and wise man, if you've got a part, bless God, read it with some passion. You're giving out the word of God. This says the earth is the Lord's. Ain't like that. Well, not only that, the fullness thereof. You know what that means, Diane? Bless God, there's not one thing on this earth that's not His. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and those that dwell therein. Do you know why it's fair for God to judge this world? It's His. Bless God, He can do whatever He wants to with it. You know, some people say, well, it's not fair people go to hell. Yes, it is. God's fair, folks. If God wants to throw you in hell, He can throw you in hell. If God wants to allow you into heaven, He'll allow you into heaven. You're His. It just said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and the they that... Well, the last time I checked, we're dwelling. We're His. You know, I could go home right now. Won't, but could. I could go home right now, get me a couple gallons of gas, throw it all through my house, light a match, and throw it in there. And burn it down. Now, if you do it, it's a crime. I can do it. You know why? Because I own it. Oh, that's well. I didn't say I was going to file an insurance claim. I just trying to make my point, Henry. I didn't ask for no chiming in. But you'd be right. I mean, if I try to file a claim, then I've defrauded the insurance company and they can put me in jail, right? But the point is, if you own something, you can do what you want to with it. Well, folks, God can do what He wants to. He owns this thing. And you know what? He's going to do what He wants to. He's God. There's none beside Him. Who is like Him? There's none. So He says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein, for He hath founded it upon the seas. He made it. If He wants to tear it up, He can tear it up. Right? He built everything about it. It was His design. It was His creation. It was His thought. It's His. Now, I realize that not everybody's in the family of God. But everybody was created by God. And that's why it's fair if he throws people into hell, folks. They belong to him. He can do what he wants to with them. Now, he's made a way. Aren't you glad? Oh, what a God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Look, he could do what he wants to. He owns it. But he's righteous. He's fair. So he says, I'm going to go down there and pay the price for them. I'm going to make it so they don't have to be destroyed. Because I'm going to have to destroy my creation now. Why? Well, sin. He is of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. He can't do it. So he's going to have to destroy it, right? It has to go down. But you don't have to go down with it because he's going to make you a way out. So he says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now there he says, well, he says, now that it belongs to me, who can come and be in my presence? My paraphrase version right there. Who can come and be in my presence? Well, then he tells you. He says three things about who can come and be in his presence. He says, he that hath clean hands. How many of you's got clean hands this morning? Raise them. If you've got clean hands, raise them. I say, if you've got clean hands, raise them, bless God. Now, if you don't have clean hands, don't raise them, because God's looking. If your hands ain't clean, don't raise them. God's looking. But if they're clean, raise them. I say, bless God, this ain't a trick question. Are your hands clean? Not only are your hands clean, that you got a pure heart. Everybody's got a pure heart. Raise your clean hands. Well, let me tell you something. If you can't raise your hands, and if your heart ain't pure, you ain't going. You ain't going into his presence. You're not coming into his hill. You see, that's not fair. Well, sure it's fair. He owns it. Hey, he's the one that made the rules. You don't make the rules. I don't make the rules. God made the rules. He said, I tell you what, I've created you. Sin has polluted you. Sin has dirtied your hands. Sin has hurt, has messed up your heart. I tell you what I'll do. Bless God, I'll come down there and I'll make it so you can have clean hands and pure heart so that you can come into the hill of the Lord. Hallelujah. If that's not reason to rejoice, I don't know what is. But then he says something else. And this is a not. This is a not. In other words, the first two are positive. Then he gives a negative. He says, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn. I'm going to give you the paraphrased version of that. And the person that has not lived a lie and deceived themselves. How many of you are not living a lie and are not deceiving yourselves? Raise your pure hand, your clean hands and your pure heart. Listen, that's the criteria. If you can't do it, today's the day. If you can't say I've got clean hands, if you can't say I've got pure heart, if you can't say, well, I'm not living a lie and I'm not deceiving myself, today's the day. Because it's the only way you're going into the hill of the Lord. Why? Because he owns it. He owns you. That's his rules. You know, my daddy had a rule. Hey, good morning. Praise God. That's an answer to prayer right there. I love it when answers to prayers come about. I got two of them today. Yeah. My dad used to have a rule. He ruled. That was his rule, Brother Will.
Yeah, that's right.
I rule. Yeah. What I say under this roof, that's it. It's not up for debate. You know, it's amazing to me. I used to have a friend. He's not dead. I have a friend. And he's got a wonderful young son. He's just a wonderful young man now. But when he was 13 or 14 year old, he would talk back to his dad. And I told him one day, I said, if that's my boy, I'd knock him down. He said, what? I said, I'd never let that boy talk to me that way. I'd knock him right on his back. My dad would have, because my dad ruled. And my dad demanded respect. Well, if my dad, who was fallible, ruled that way, how do you think God's going to rule? Well, the Bible says he's going to rule with a iron rod. That's how he's going to rule. What gives him the right to rule that way? You're starting to pick it up. Oh, okay. Well, too many viruses going around. I ain't touching nobody. That's Zachary. I ain't touching you either, Chris. Chris said, don't touch me. All right. Now, here's what the person that has the clean hands, the pure heart, and doesn't lie and deceive himself. Here's what you get. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Now, what is the blessing from the Lord? Let's go around here. Now, we're going to have a little back and forth. What do you say? I'm going to start right here. You want me to start right here over yonder? Okay, I'm going to start right here. What is the blessing from the Lord that you're going to receive? Come on, honey, it's Christmas. What are you getting? Eternal life, okay. What is the blessing from the Lord that you receive?
Salvation.
What? No, well, he's in front of you. You can't take his. You can't say it's everywhere. Come on, honey. What blessing do you receive? Huh?
I'm going to heaven.
You're going to heaven.
Saved.
Salvation, okay.
Saved or found.
Salvation, okay.
You're on that side.
I'm going back and forth. Come on, what blessing do you receive from the Lord? Have you never got a blessing? Hey, what blessing do you receive? Well, what?
Everything.
Everything.
What? Said what I was going
to
say.
I got one. You get to come boldly before him and ask for forgiveness.
You get to come boldly before him. That's a blessing. What blessing?
Love.
Love. Love's a blessing. Okay, Will, come on, help me. Get to be with him forever. That's eternal life, wasn't it? Who said eternal life? What you got?
Peace.
And love.
Blessings on earth.
Eternal life. Salvation. Peace.
Love.
Eternal life.
You live forever.
Live forever. Oh, you done give me yours.
All the above.
All the above. Forgiveness. All the above. Salvation. Inheritance.
Love.
Communication.
Rejoice.
Good health. All the above.
Forgiveness of sins.
All the above. Do you know what blessing you get? You get the one who owns it all. You get God. And you know what you get when you get God? All the above. Don't you like that? He just condenses it down. And he says, hey, you got me. It's sort of like my little bride. She says, what else you need, honey? You got me. And she's right. And God says, what else you need? You got me. If you got me, you got everything. But you see, you don't get God unless you got. Thank you, brother. Clean hands, pure heart. Don't lie and deceive yourself. If you do, if you don't have those things, you don't get God. If you don't get God, you don't get the blessings. You know that commercial, got milk? Guy's got it all over his face. If you've got God, it'll be all over your face. I got to move on. Time's running out. Time is... Okay, all right. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. No one mentioned righteousness, but you have to have righteousness to have salvation, right? So if you mention salvation, you got righteousness. This is the generation of them that... Now, let's back up. Hypothetically, Henry, hypothetically, you don't have clean hands. Hypothetically, you don't have a pure heart. Hypothetically, you're lying and deceiving yourself. What should you do? You're starting to pick it up now. Huh? You seek the Lord. Because when you find the Lord, you receive clean hands, pure heart, and you stop lying and deceiving yourself. Now, what does it mean when you say you're lying to yourself? The Bible says all liars shall have... That don't mean that I tell you I'm 201 pounds. That would be a lie. But I'm not going to hell because I say that. That's not the lie, folks. Who is a liar? The Bible says. It asks itself. You know, it says, who is a liar? Well, no, I'm going to answer it. The Bible answers it. If y'all give me time, everybody's wanting to teach. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Son of God? He, God says, is a liar. If you're deceiving yourself, you're telling yourself you don't need God. I don't mean point at you. I don't want to run anybody off. If you're lying to yourself, you're saying you don't need God. Your heart is pure. Your hands are clean. Why do I need God? Well, you're just lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And when you stand before God, you're going to find out that he said, oh no, honey, I told you down there. Don't you remember I told you? In Psalms 24, I told you, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart and don't lie and deceive themselves, get me. So he says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Lift up your heads, all ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory. Oh, listen, this is some of my favorite stuff right here. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open up, the King of glory will come in and sup with you. What else could you want to have the King of glory in here? But he is not coming unless it's pure. God don't come in an impure heart, folks. You see, these people that think they're just going to add God to their life, they're doing two things. What are they doing? They're lying to themselves or deceiving themselves. God ain't coming in because you've not opened the door. You've not sought him. You don't have his blessing. You've got his cursing. Before I set before you today, blessing and cursing, life and death, open up the door that you might get life. Who was it said life eternal? Life everlasting? Well, that's salvation, folks. That's deliverance. Now look at the 142nd Psalms. You thought I was done, didn't you? I saw the look on your face. You said, oh, my boy, he's good. He's done. I'm not near done. I'm teaching Revelation. 145. I say a lot of things I don't mean. I will extol thee, my God, O King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You'll never understand how great he is. Look, if you will, at 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live. Too late when you're dead, bless God. While I live, I will sing praises unto my God while I have. You thought that was just for a year, didn't you? Who was it said we're going to have everlasting life? Well, that means you're going to be in being forever. Yep. Well, guess what you're going to be doing forever? Praising the Lord. Amen. You say, Tom, what does that entail, praising the Lord? I don't know. All I know is it says I'm going to praise him while I have being. Well, if you're saved, you're going to live forever. Guess what you're going to do forever? Well, but if you're deceiving yourself, if you're lying to yourself, you're not going to be a being forever. You're going to be in hell forever, and you won't be praising God. I can tell you that. You're going to be cursing him. That's what the Bible says. They don't praise God in hell, folks. They curse him. And if you don't believe me, just read Revelation again, where it says all these things he does to them, and they repented not look at 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is I got to tell on myself. Last year I wasn't able to write my wife a poem for the first time since I can't remember. I just had the knee surgery and my mind just, I couldn't focus. I just couldn't. And I came up the other day and I was just trying my best. It just wasn't working. And I said, Lord, please help me to have a flow of words to write my little wife a poem for Christmas. I've always done it. And I had the Bible in front of me. And I was reading this. And I just began to thank him for everything. Things were just coming to my mind and I'd say, thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, but thank you. And all of a sudden, I picked up the pen. And the words just flowed out of me. You say, Tom, that's not a big deal. Well, not to you. Boy, it's a real big deal to me. But it came about when I started praising him. You know, it'd be amazing what we could accomplish in here if we'd start praising him a little bit. You say, well, Tom, what does it mean to praise him? Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Bless God, I got to hurry. Time's running out. Here's what it means in the Bible. Remember it says, I will sing praise. Now, listen, for all you people, and I don't say this to be mean either. So don't go out and say, boy, old Tom was mean today. For all you people say, I'd sing, but I just can't sing. I mean, we can barely get enough for a choir up here. And people say, well, I can't sing. Well, let's see if you can't, according to the Bible. You'll go according to that, won't you?
Yep.
Well, let's see if you can't. Well, and this is what got me, too. Now, I was supposed to sing a song with Pam and Amy in the cantata. And I got Henry to fill in for me because I said, boy, I've got this stuff in my chest. I just can't do it. Well, and God got a hold of me. I'll tell you in a minute how he got a hold of me. So anyway, here's what it means in praise. It means to shine. How many of you want your life to shine? Huh? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You want your light to shine? Let's start going around praising the Lord, folks. You know, we're too many of us are like that river that's frozen over. We're frozen over at the mouth. We need to start shining. It says, make a show. Make a show. Boast. How many of you have got somebody that you boast about? How many of you got grandchildren? How many of you boast about your grandchildren? How many of you ashamed to boast about your grandchildren? How many of you ashamed to boast about your wife or your husband? Bless God, are your children. How many of you's ashamed? I dare say none of you. But when it comes to the Lord, bless God, we're so cold and indifferent, we won't praise him. So he says, boast. I like this next one. Be clamorously foolish. Make a fool out of yourself, sort of like I'm doing. Don't be afraid to make a fool out of yourself. I'll give you a good example. Back when I was lost, I'd go to the crow's nest. Anybody remember the crow's nest? You say, oh, Tom, don't tell that in the house of God. Listen, that's gone, brother. Those sins are gone. They're under the blood. Hallelujah. They're gone. But I go out there to the crow's nest. Boy, I get me a few drinks in me, and I get out on that dance floor, and I thought I was Saturday Night Fever. Or staying alive, or whatever it was. I had on one of them leisure, what do they call, leisure suits. Oh, boy, and that collar was open. Old Tom, man, had that gold necklace on. Man, he was just out there, and he making a fool out of himself. You know why I was making a fool out of myself? I was intoxicated. You know why we don't make a fool out of ourselves in here, folks? Bless God, we're not drunk enough. Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. If we get a little bit of Holy Spirit in us, bless God, and get drunk in here a little bit, we might start making a fool out of ourselves. Huh? The Bible says to sing and to dance.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to get up, bless God, and say, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. I was lost, but now I'm found. Go out to a ball game. Bless God, somebody makes a three-pointer. Well, everybody goes nuts. Why? Because they're intoxicated. By what? By the world, bless God. You say, Tom, is there anything wrong with the ball game? Not one bit. I was on that yesterday watching my big oranges. But folks, we need to get intoxicated. We need to get beside ourselves. And then he says, to rave. You know what to rave means, don't you? Well, you just go overboard telling how good something is. Huh? Well, folks, if we can't go overboard telling how good God is, who are we going to go overboard about? To celebrate. To celebrate. Think about that. We didn't come in here to socialize. We didn't come in here to fellowship. We come in here to celebrate. Celebrate God. Remember, if you've got God, I went around the room. Your blessings, you got them when you got God. Well, that's something to celebrate.
Amen.
You say, Tom, you are acting like a fool this morning. Hallelujah. He says, I made this note. I put all this towards our God, our King, our Lord. Is he not worth it? Huh? Is he not worth getting a little excited about? Getting a little loud about? Putting a hand up for him? I mean, huh? I'm not trying to belittle anybody, folks. Listen, I'm just teaching. I'm just the word does. Hey, it got me. That's got it. Got me to send him a text. Say, son, you're out. I'm in. I don't care if I crack this morning. I'm having trouble with the saw. I don't care. Bless God, I'm gonna sing it to the Lord. Rejoice,
yeah.
Emmanuel. And then here's what it means to sing. This verse is what got me. This is why I sent you a text, Henry. To creak. Now, I told Amy, I said, Amy, I can't sing that song. I said, every time I try to hit that high note, I crack. I creak. So what? I bet you God's up there saying, son, you're sounding good. Just keep on creaking. Just do it for me. Huh? Let me read some more to you. It's good. I'll tell you what, I don't care. I'm like my pastor. It's good stuff. To shout aloud. That's what it means to sing now. To creak. To shout aloud. For all you people say, I can't sing. Well, get up in the choir and start creaking. Get up in the choir and start shouting. God will like it. And if anybody out here don't like it, who cares? Huh? It's not for them anyway. That's what got me. I said, well, Tommy, you proud, arrogant thing, you. To think you can't sing unless you sound like you're in the opera. God, give me a good whipping, folks. It's about praising him. That's what it's about. We just need to get a little more drunk. Have another drink. And then it says this. Use a musical instrument. Make music accompanied by voice and instrument. To stroll minstrelly. That means singing. Get a little movement going. Hey, just like I was out there at the crow's nest under that liquor. Bless God, I was out there thinking I was something. Well, what's wrong with getting a little Holy Spirit liquor in you, bless God, moving around for the Lord Jesus Christ? What's wrong with that? You got all his blessings. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. That's what it says. And then it says, sing, shout, and testify. Where am I? Oh, honey, that's the stuff I wrote. I'm over here on 149, 150. I'm all over the place now. I never know where I'm at. Wherever you're at, there you are. But now here's what I said. Here's what I made me a little. I made me a little scratch note here. If you had my Bible, you couldn't read it, but I can. It says, whether it's a cappella or with instrument, whether it's recitation or with melody and harmony, sing. But it don't just say to sing. What's the very first verse in 148 or 9 say? Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Could I just say this morning, everybody belly up to the Holy Spirit's bar and just get drunk. Let's start coming in here a little intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. You know how you do that? Stay in the bottle all week. Huh? You show me an alcoholic and I'll show you a person that can't stay away from a bottle. Well, what we need to do is get addicted to this right here. And if we will, we'll come in here. And you know what? It'll be chapter 19 of Revelation. Hallelujah. That's all they say. You can read it for yourself over and over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what you're going to be doing in heaven. Well, won't we just get started? I mean, we're on our way. Everybody's on your way to heaven, raise your hand. Everybody's got clean hands, raise your hand. Everybody's got a pure heart, raise your hand. Everybody's not lying, deceiving yourself, raise your hand. Bless God. Well, let me tell you something. Bible says you're already in heaven. Why don't we start acting like it? Or do you think we're going to get around the throne and be ashamed? Oh, I don't think so. Do you think we're going to get around the throne and say, well, I can't sing. My throat, my voice, my chest, my lungs, it's going to sound awful. Shame on me, honey. Shame on me. Shame on me. God's given me everything, folks. He's been so good to me. Why would I do that to him? Shame on me. But you know what? He said, "My son, go sing." Oh, glory! Go on, sing now. If they don't like what you sound, I'm gonna love it. There you go. I'm done. No, wait a minute. I got to have prayer. Hang on 1 second. Yes. Go ahead.
Before we close, I have a confession, and I just want to share with you how strong Satan is, because I admit to be at church this morning because God's answering. He's not done. He's answering a prayer that's been in my heart for a long time. And I wanted to be here at church early so I could share it with all of you because time is right. Why do we not use our voice to praise God? Why are we ashamed to stand up and talk about how He is so important to us? So I wanted to be here. Well, we have a new puppy. I slept with the puppy last night. I overslept. Gerald didn't wake me up. I was angry at him for not waking me up. I was frustrated when I walked through that door this morning. Satan was about to defeat me. I was late. I thought, well, it's too late to testify. It's too late to praise God. Why is it too late? I still have breath in my body. Why is it too late for me to stand up and thank God for answering a prayer that's been burdening my heart? My youngest son has talked about the fact that he is drinking too much, that he's quitting. I have witnessed to him. I've reached out to Tom and Dan to pray for him. I'm asking you to pray for him. And we talked and I said, you know, Adams, you've got to go back to God. You assured me when you went overseas in the Marine Corps, you were saved and ready and good to go. I said, you need to stay there. You need to make sure you're still there with God. But then, why are we so slow to stand up and say something like that? Why do we not walk through that door, each one of us praising God with our voice? And I text Tom and he said, you need to tell Adam. He needs to go back to God. Not God go to him. He needs to go to God.
Right.
And I said, Tom, I will find my voice.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me when I said that text to him, so why is my voice silent? Why do I have to find it? Where has my voice been? Why am I not praising God with my voice? So, Satan almost won this morning. I almost sat right here in this pew. I almost let Tom finish up his class. And I almost said, it's okay, Lord. I was late. I'm in a bad mood. I'm grumpy. Satan's winning. One for Satan. I'm not praising God. So, with all that being said, I am so blessed and so thankful for each of you. And most of all, I'm so blessed to have such a personal relationship with my family.
I was told this morning Tony's had a wreck this week, and so they asked that we pray for him. I want to mention Amber and Pam and Doris and Judy and Helen and all the others that's been mentioned. We'll pray for them this morning. Pray for the choirs we sing, that God would get glory and honor and praise, and that people in here wouldn't be listening to us, that would be thinking about God. It's all about Him, folks. It's all about Him. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for all You've done for us. Can't say it enough. That's why You give us eternity. It'll take that long and longer to thank You for all You've done for us. And Lord, for this time of year where we celebrate that birth of Jesus Christ, may we realize that You've moved on from there. You've moved past the cross. You sit at the right hand of the Father, just waiting to come back for us as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. I pray for Tony this morning. I pray for Amber's needs. I pray for all these needs, oh God, that were mentioned in the prayer room. I pray for the choir this morning. Lord, I pray You get glory. And for any sin in any of us, oh God, may we ask You to forgive us before we get up there. And may we just sing for Your glory, for Your honor, and for Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What a pretty girl. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, Dwayne, I've got to go downstairs. If the kids are taking up, my mind's on the front pew. If you